The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or iHeartMedia.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan, plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. We've got Christina in the control room and Stephanie Toops.
Hi.
In studio, and she's got her mom, Ann, and her stepfather, Don, in studio.
Yeah.
And we've been chatting it up about lots of things, but
yeah.
Cosmo, for sure.
Mainly Cosmo.
Like, what is up with Cosmo? Do you want to just go there?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go there. And then Maura Davies, I'll be right with you. But this, I just have to say, so, you know, we went to, Stephanie was gracious enough to invite me to a private, it was an invitation only premiere of the movie Toxic Beauty.
Toxic Beauty.
And I have had a fire. I talked about it yesterday. I've had a fire under my But ever since, okay, that we really need some change in this world, especially when it comes to the personal care and beauty industry. And so, you know, I get magazines in the mail from almost every publisher there is because I do radio. And so I got Cosmo magazine a couple of days ago and I've had it up, you know, in my kitchen on my book on my shelf. Anyway, so I pulled it out today and I was like, oh my God, it said this sext. If you don't know what a sext is, it's a text that you want, you
a
send
sexy
when,
text.
A sexy text, yes.
There it's dirty talk.
It's dirty talk on text. And it says, this sext has a 99.2% success rate. So I was like, I wonder what it is. So we looked at it, you know, Stephanie, myself, and Aviana. And it's so filthy, I can't even begin to speak about it on the radio. It is downright raunchy, dirty, filthy, like... Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree.
I feel like it's definitely exaggerated. I don't know anybody who would send those texts.
I don't either. Well, and I want to know what 99.2% success rate
what's
of
the other,
what's of what? What's what are we what's our yeah. what's our goal here?
Yeah. Well, here's my goal. If I ever text anyone is to just be friendly and nice and be myself. How about that? How about you not pretend that you're somebody else or be influenced by somebody else's mind and you just be whoever you are? How about that?
Yeah.
That's a great concept, right? Yeah. To be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in what their target reader is because I just was I don't know. I was just saying I hadn't read one in a while. I used to read Cosmo. I just you know, I'm
Everybody
I've,
does.
You know,
everybody
reads Cosmo, you know.
I've been in Cosmo.
But have you?
I have.
That's impressive.
with a drift float spa. I certainly have.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, because we did couples floats. Yeah. It was a Valentine issue from like, I don't know, like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was cool. I was like, I'm in Cosmo. We made it in New York Times and Cosmo both that year.
That's great.
Which was great.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't feel like that's like my, like I'm not the targeted audience. I feel like I'm not entertained by that anymore.
Yeah,
like
I know. That's why I was wondering, like, maybe what the target.
I don't want my daughter reading this.
I'm 40, so yeah. I'm like, what's their target age range? And maybe that's just we took. I mean, I haven't looked at it in forever, like I just said. So, and I'm not dogging Cosmo, but I'm just saying that
they got they've got responsibility in
that
publishing.
That article is shocking.
Well, like, I have two daughters.
I wouldn't want that in my house. I guess that's what probably about what you're about to say. I wouldn't want that in my house
because
I want my kid to pick that up.
Yeah, reading this crap. You know, I have a 15-year-old and a 23-year-old, and I don't want them to be this girl.
The largest demographic for Cosmo is women 18 to 34.
Yeah. Well, so, and then if you flip it over, then it tells you this.
But that's
and this
you.
Is, yeah, okay. And I'm not entertained by it. I mean,
yeah. Okay, this is just crazy stuff. And then there's a picture of a woman like with her lips perfectly poised when they're and they're all glossy. And it says, as long as this exotic mouth move. Now we're even teaching mouth moves to young women. Really? You can't be yourself again? I mean, how stupid. I mean, it's just really stupid. You're not supposed to use that word, but I just used it twice. But it says, as long as this exotic mouth move won't hurt him, he'll think you're a GD sex goddess. Like, cool. What are we doing? What are we doing? Cosmo, what are you doing? You know, and here's the reason I pulled it out, though.
I need to find out what the move is.
The move.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'll show you. but here's the thing that I really, the point I want to make, because we were talking about toxic beauty. There are so many personal care products out there that are so toxic for you and your animals, by the way. This is how I'm going to segue into to Maura Davies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I out of 100 and let's see, there's in Cosmo this month, there's 120 pages. Out of 120 pages, there are 46 pages with product mentions or ads specifically just for beauty ads. That doesn't include pharmaceuticals. Or there's a couple of food companies that are advertising in here. But it's like, really? And that is why I say, like, we really have a problem on our hand, not only by how toxic it is, but how toxic it is for your mind to be that beauty sick that you're so focused on beauty. I don't think that's healthy for anybody, any young woman, certainly not.
That's a really great point. That's a really great point that was sort of ancillary in the film. They talked a lot about just the products themselves being, but they did mention that, and there was a focus on that, that if there wasn't such, especially for like women of color who do so much to like skin lighteners and hair straighteners and things like that, where they're really trying to change an appearance, it can be really damaging in terms of your overall well-being.
Well, we're going to talk more about it on the show. Stephanie and I are going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about 11 things to stop recycling. We've got Dr. Al Dannenberg coming on, but Maura Davies is going to answer the question, do dogs see in color? Maura Davies is the vice president of the SPCA. That is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. Their website is spca.org. So, Maura, do dogs see in color?
Yes. Okay, so they do. I get this question a lot, and so I thought it would be a really cool thing to talk about. So dogs see in color, but they see something different. So when a person looks at a rainbow and when a dog looks at a rainbow, there are different color spectrums. So theirs is more muted and muddy is probably the best way to put it.
That kind of sucks.
For
a dog, right?
I know. So yeah, I mean, we see red, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. They see khakis, brown, yellow, mustard, and then blue.
Aww. Wow. Do dog toy manufacturers take that into consideration, or do they appeal to the consumer? And, you know, that's
who's
a great question,
it,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, from what I've seen, it's a lot of appealing to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the yellow ball, when you have a red ball out there, a lot of dogs are not going to see that red ball as well, because to a dog, red seems like a dirty brown color. So imagine if you throw a red ball into a field, and what if it's wintertime and the grass is kind of dead and it's brown, and the dog's gonna be like, wait, there's all this brown stuff, and there's this brown colored ball somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So but yellow is similar. It's like a bright yellow with a little green tinge. A dog is gonna see a yellow ball or a blue ball best.
Really?
Okay. So, yeah, red and orange are going to be mustardy, brown, dirty colors, but yellow is going to be yellow, greenish yellow.
So the good old-fashioned tennis ball.
that's a greenish yellow, right?
Yeah.
That's a good old-fashioned tennis ball is probably why a lot of dogs like those things best, because they can see them the easiest.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask Charlie, if you were wondering what voice that was when I went, mm-hmm. Okay, Charlie opened the show a couple of weeks ago with me and Maura, and he had a conversation with Maura, and that's kind of Charlie's voice.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And when Maura was talking, he was remarking and going, mm-hmm. Okay, so what are cones and rods? What is that?
Yeah, so the reason that dogs see this way differently from people is because of the differences in the cones and the rods. So cones, for cones and rods, people and dogs have different numbers. So for humans, our eyes that see pretty colors of the rainbow, but we fumble around in the dark, dogs see a little bit muted, and they can see better in the dark. So sight favors rods over cones. Human sight favors cones over rods. They're the things that make up our eyes and let us see. So because dogs have more rods than cones, they see in the dark, but not as well as cats. But then color vision is what's sacrificed. So to put a fine point on it, people have three types of cone and dogs have two, and that's why their sight is more muted than ours in terms of seeing color. So that's why, but the cool thing is, because dogs have a bigger pupil to their eyes and a little bit more of that reflective piece that's called tapetum, people say it different ways, they have that reflective stuff at the back of their eyes that makes the most of light, magnifies it around the eyeball, so dogs can see 5 times better than people in the dark, but a cat can see 6 times better than a dog in the dark.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, that would explain why cats, you know,
they
are
go crazy at night.
They're so active at night. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, like, they keep me up.
Same.
They do. They
so
really
six times
do.
Better than a dog.
And
so
a dog is five
to,
times better
yeah,
than us.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So that's why they're so good at hunting rats and mice,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so yeah, it's neat stuff. You know, dogs don't need their eyes as much since they can smell so much better. They can mm-hmm. hear so much better. Their whiskers help them sense things, and their paw pads are very sensitive. So if you look at all the dog senses put together, they have strong sense of touch, hearing, and feeling. I would touch and feeling more. So sight's less important. So
yeah.
If a dog goes blind, they're often able to cope pretty well.
Well, I love all animals. I do. And I have 23, 10 dogs, 13 cats. I put a video out today on Instagram to show just how I keep the house so clean, to be very transparent. I love them so much. I do. And they add so much mm-hmm. to your home. And I don't have it in front of me, but I wanted to share this. I thought it was so interesting that I read an article a couple of days ago on what doctors don't tell you. I received an email from them, and it said that if you have a dog in your house, and you are predisposed to schizophrenia, that you have a 34% decreased
chance of developing
schizophrenia if you share a home with a dog.
That's super
cool. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. We'll have to Google it and talk about it on the air next week, maybe. I think it's fascinating science. So
yeah, totally.
It was a report out of the UK, I believe. But always good to have you on the show, Maura. Can you let everybody know before we go to break why it's so important to spay and neuter?
Yes, everyone out there, please help prevent the needless euthanasia of millions of animals, dogs and cats. Prevent them from dying, hurt and alone. Spay and neuter, save a life, adopt from a shelter and save so many more.
All right. It's always great to have you. So on the phone, Maura Davies. Have a
Thank
great
you
weekend.
So much.
All right,
Thank
everyone. My music choices for today's show are all honky tonk. Look at me. Honky tonk.
Love it.
You love it? Okay. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. I keep waiting for you to have a different response.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. You're just usually so. Do you like honky tonk music?
I do like honky tonk. I don't recognize these songs,
yeah.
though.
Well, I can't sing along.
Yeah.
Well, these are old. This is Highway 101 from like the late 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's why. But it's a really.
But they're awesome. They're, I just don't great, recognize
it's a,
them.
It's
yeah.
a great album. Their greatest hits. It yeah. really is one of my favorites. And I don't even know why I thought of it. I think I saw it in my Apple Music or something like that. And anyway, that's what we picked for today, just to cheer everyone up out there listening.
I love it. I think it's great. I was listening to the top 100 songs of 2019, and I didn't know a single one.
So oh,
I,
no.
I mean, gosh. They're just...
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is also officially a sign that I have gotten old because I don't know a single song on the top 100.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're going to have to listen up to this album because you'll like it. It's a girl album.
I think I'd rather go backwards than forwards
there
with
you
music,
go.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, speaking of going backwards and forwards, we've had Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, Al Dannenberg, on the show here now for quite a while, and he is transparently sharing his journey of fighting cancer with us unconventionally. And we're going to get an update here in just a second. Dr. Al Dannenberg is a periodontist, certified functional medicine practitioner, an ADAPT, trained health professional, and certified primal health coach. He is the author of Crazy Good Living and is a contributor to the Wellbeing Journal. His website is drdannenberg.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Dannenberg?
I am super. You guys seem to have too much fun on the radio.
I
need to get there alive.
You do.
I'm not sure how I will get there, but why not?
You get yourself on a wagon and come down here to Texas.
Should that be a covered wagon? You think I'm that young or that old? Okay.
No. I was just trying to be funny. Oh, my gosh.
And me too, right?
Well, you know, I'm a New York girl that's lived in Texas for a while, and so I'm a odd bird. I'm a mix of both. So, you know, it's funny
how
that.
Well, I think I've been to Texas twice in my life, so I've not really gotten the flavor of it. But
oh my gosh,
sure
you'll have to come visit.
Fantastic.
You have to come visit, you and your wife.
Maybe Paleo FX.
I have a beautiful a guest room and an apartment, red infrared sauna, and you guys can hang out.
That only because you know that I can't travel, but that's okay.
Well, not yet, but you might be able to, and that's what's so beautiful about your story and this incredible journey that you've been through and how you are just getting your health back day by day, month by month, and it's going to be year by year, I feel. So for those who may not be familiar, can you share what your health journey has been in the last year and a half and what has been
sure.
your protocol?
Absolutely. So September 2018, I had some soreness on my shoulder, didn't know what was going on, lasted for actually 2 or 3 months previous to that, went to my general physician. He said, something's going on. We'll do some blood work. The blood work showed nothing except some chronic inflammation. He said, well, let's go ahead and do an MRI. We did an MRI, and lo and behold, I had a couple pathological fractures of my vertebra, some cracked ribs, a hairline fracture of my pelvis, and my physician said, what the hell are you doing? Did you have a fight or fall down a bunch of steps? And I said no, and finally we did more tests, and it turns out that I have an aggressive form of multiple myeloma, which is destroying my skeleton so that I am very fragile, like a person who has severe osteoporosis.
Yeah.
It's a disease. It's a cancer, a bone marrow cancer.
Well, as a doctor and a contributor to the Wellbeing Journal, I have to ask this question. Well, a couple of questions, actually. You know, what do you think was the cause of it? Do you have any ideas?
I absolutely do. First of all, you know, these types of diseases don't occur in a week or a month or a year, or maybe not even for decades from the initial onset. And the interesting thing is, any cancer, you only need one cell that is cancerous. Our body has millions of cells that are cancerous, but our body self-destructs them. So you only need one malignant cancer cell that doesn't self-destruct or not being eaten up by other parts of the immune system. And that cancer cell has the ability to grow forever and multiply. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe happened. So what I think has happened, I can't prove it, but there was some research that I found that was published a couple years ago that showed that compared male dentists. I'm a dentist. My age is 72 now. So basically, male dentists in my age group compared to the general male population out there in the United States, and those male dentists had a significantly higher risk to multiple myeloma. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured out what could be going on. Well, when I was in dental school for 6 years, mm-hmm. 4 years dental school, 2 years of graduate school, I was exposed to ionizing radiation, which are dental x-rays, mm-hmm. all the time. In those days, it was back in the early 70s, there wasn't a lot of control of the x-ray machines.
No.
And so I got that exposure. And also, we use mercury restorations, amalgam restorations, mm-hmm. the silver fillings that people have in their mouth. We played with free mercury in our hands like kids play with Play-Doh.
Yep, I know.
It's highly, highly toxic.
Insane,
so
right?
Those two things, yeah.
Yeah. No, I love you talking about this.
That's
with you.
What
and
started.
Yeah, and I've read about that as well. I actually I never knew him, but I know someone that had an uncle that lived in Los Angeles. He was like you, a periodontist in Beverly Hills, and he mm-hmm. actually lost his fingers. He lost his fingers from radiation and mercury and all those things that you're talking about. I don't remember the exact thing, but I mean, it's very dangerous. And you guys were exposed to it. Like, they used to x-ray everything because we thought it was so safe, right?
Right. You don't smell it, see it, feel it. You have no idea what these things are doing to your body. And when these low doses over a period of time accumulate, and that's the big problem. It's not one dose and mm-hmm. that's it. It's the constant low dose over many, many, for me, years, mm-hmm. literally. And I think that stimulated one cell to do what it's done, and that was 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, whatever has happened in my life to increase my toxic exposure eventually allowed this to come about and manifest in this way. And so in September 2018, I get this diagnosis that I had 3 to 6 months to live.
Wow. And you know what? I remember driving back, I guess it was last November before Christmas in 2019, and you had just, you were in your worst condition. You were in hospice.
Yeah.
You were beaten down mentally. I remember getting off the phone with you, Dr. Dannenberg, and sobbing my eyes out all the way to the radio station because I thought, oh my God, I don't want him, you know, to pass. I don't want, oh my gosh. And I was just so devastated, you know, that to hear you so down and now to hear you so up and this message of hope that you bring to everyone by choosing holistic and alternative health is astonishing. It really is. So what are the latest updates? What's going on?
So things are going extremely well. I'm feeling great. You know, I've got pain and discomfort, but everybody has
pain
and discomfort, right?
Yeah, right. And especially at 72, you know? Yeah.
Right. What's the big deal? So what really is going on is I think two big things that have happened in my life recently. Number one, my oncologist, who is a conventional oncologist and is the greatest guy in the world, and he's definitely on my side and on my page, he kind of encouraged me to start an immunotherapy medication, which is basically a human-derived monoclonal antibody that attacks a specific protein that is on the surface of my malignant plasma cells. No other other side effects, maybe a few, but not anything significant. And I think that is working. I've done that for mm-hmm. the last 2 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I have infusions every week, and it'll continue for a couple more months. That's one thing. The other thing is I've kind of eaten healthy for the last 7 years, but I have now progressed into what's called the carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's an animal-based diet.
Interesting.
Meaning no plant foods whatsoever.
Wow.
And there's some interesting science about it. And one of the major factors for me is that it can put my body into a state of ketosis mm-hmm. and eliminate other toxic elements that are in the plant world and help starve out cancer cells. So I've got these two dramatic approaches that are just integrated with all of my other unconventional protocols that I'm doing, and I'm doing it in a very positive way. and I feel great. I mean, I can't drive like I used to drive. Behind the car. And I can walk outside, but by the time I walk maybe a half a mile, my legs start to hurt. And don't forget, I've had some serious fractures. So I've had my right femur fractured, my right humerus on my right arm fracture. I had my left femur crack, and then a few vertebral compression fractures. So I've had lots of bone areas break on me. But I'm doing well. I cook. You know, my wife and I go out on the weekend and do our shopping, and I cook at home, and I clean up at home. I'm kind of the stay-at-home dad.
I love it. Well, I know, you know, I don't usually give product. I don't normally give product mentions. I don't especially during wonderful content like this. But I have to say, Enviromedica, if you're into all that organ and this.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what he's taking,
I believe.
Absolutely. Is that what you're taking?
I'm using their products.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I'm using their organ complex product as well as their bone marrow product. These are, I'm not trying to make an advertisement for you either, but these are actually sourced from New Zealand. They're organic. They are grass-fed cattle, grass-finished cattle. Mm-hmm. New Zealand has a high standard of quality products. And Enviromedica imports them in whatever way. They also do other products that I'm using. Their Terraflora is a spore-based probiotic. I use that along with some other things. So it's a good company. I think that they're really on top of the not only the quality but the research end of it, so that what they're providing, I think, is very beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. And Wild Foods Co., another sponsor of ours, they do all the wild. What do you think about mushrooms? Is that part of your routine at all?
No. A mushroom actually would be a food product. A plant product. You know, it's a fungi. So, no, that would not be part of my regimen.
Okay.
It's basically animals and organs and their collagenous material, you know, the collagen and the tendons and that kind of stuff. That and their fat, which is all housing the nutrients. And what's fascinating is that animals are eating these plants that they have a better digestion process, and they can eliminate any of the toxic elements. And the real bioavailable nutrients that we normally think of in plants are available if you're eating the animal's fat and organs.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much their muscle, but muscle too, but most of those are in their fat and organs. So basically eating nose to tail, animals, fish, eggs, these kinds of things. And they're very satiating. So maybe one big meal or two big meals a day and you're full.
Interesting.
But, no plants. Well, no plants whatsoever.
And your supplementation, I'm guessing that you're taking at least like vitamin D, K2, something like that, right? And turmeric?
Yeah, so of course there are sources of that, but I do take vitamin D. That's part of my other protocols because I've got this bone disease, and so I need to support my bones. So I do take vitamin D3 and vitamin K2, and I have a calcium source that comes from an algae plant.
Oh, nice.
Not that I'm eating the algae, but I'm getting these other nutrients that are not part of the carnivore diet. But my unique situation, I think, requires me to do a little bit more than the average person that wants to eat a carnivore diet and stay healthy.
Well, you sound great, and it's always great to talk with you. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, you'll have to come back sooner rather than later because I didn't get
What's your address if I drop myself off?
I'll email
it to you, but no, I'll give you a Texas welcome. You'll never be the same.
You are too sweet.
All right. Well, you take
Thank
care.
You, though.
We'll talk soon. Everyone, go to Dr. Dannenberg's website, drdannenberg.com. He's just a wealth of information, and he's a wealth of hope. So have a great weekend, Dr. Dannenberg.
Thanks.
All
you
right.
You guys are sweet. Oh, have a great one. Yourself.
You're sweeter. All right. That's that Texas hospitality, see?
I love it. Thank
right.
you so much.
Oh, my gosh. You're welcome. Everyone, stay tuned. Stephanie Toops coming up here. When you're rejected, you feel the glare.
don't know it.
He's a live wire.
I've heard this one. Who is this?
This is a... someone new. I don't know.
I want a beer.
He's a live wire.
I do. I feel like I need a beer.
A nice cold beer.
Some peanuts.
Well, you know what? I was drinking tequila
outside
last night.
Outside on the patio.
Yeah.
Were you with me? Were you spying on me last night, you girls?
No.
Yeah. No, I was at the Old Monk last night with a couple of my
I
old,
love that place.
My girlfriends.
Yeah, we used to go there.
And I had a veggie burger, and I had three tequilas.
Wow, that's impressive.
Ooh.
We were there for a while, clearly.
Yeah.
And we were. Like, we had to buy more stuff just to stay at that table. It was real nice in the corner, you know, with the heater. We were outside, and the crazy Dallas scene, you know, down off of
Henderson.
Mockingbird and Henderson.
Henderson
and
I love it.
Yeah, but I was drinking tequila. I think that's why I'm so happy, and I slept well, and
good.
I floated a couple of days ago, and it's all good. It's all good. And Stephanie Toops, I can't think of a better woman to have in studio with me today, and she's got her mom, Anne, and her stepfather, Don, in studio with us,
here.
And so we're giving them a little Texas welcome. Where are you guys from?
They're from here.
Live here?
Yeah. They live in San Saba, which is kind of like hill country.
Oh, I love it down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, we're headed to Austin here in a couple of months, maybe sooner, to go to the Paleo FX, which is coming up in April. You went last year.
I did.
Are you going again?
Yeah. No, I haven't. You know what? I haven't even looked at a calendar about that. Yeah.
It's the end of April.
Okay.
And you were my photographer last year.
I was.
You were. You're so good at everything. She's amazing. So let me tell you about Stephanie if you've never heard her before. She is a consumer advocate professional, particularly focused on safety in food and personal care products. She became fascinated with the industry when she was diagnosed with a thyroid autoimmune disorder while pregnant with her second child. She has always been fascinated with education and holds both an undergraduate and a master's degree in accounting and finance from Texas A&M University. She is a certified public accountant and has owned and operated numerous businesses in the Dallas area. Her Instagram is Toopsy Turvy.
Yep.
Right?
There you go.
So T-O-U-P, like her last name, Toops. So Toopsy Turvy. How did that come to you? That's so cute.
Oh, well, you know, my life's all topsy-turvy, so I just figured Toopsy Turvy.
It works.
There you go. It works.
Yeah, well, with three young kids, you got your hands full, that's for sure.
A little nuts.
Well, you know, I always love that you're very open to talk about anything that concerns, you know, the earth or our safety and personal care products. And today we're talking about 11 things to stop recycling.
Yes.
So what's going on with this? What are people doing? Are they recycling bad stuff?
Well, I think it goes back to that people are trying to do a good job, you know, and they hear, okay, well, I need to recycle. And so they're doing their very best in order to support that effort. But sometimes they're recycling the wrong things or they're putting the wrong things in the bags, which can impact the recycling facilities and can cause more harm than good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So what kind of stupid things do people put in there?
So, one of the things is like plastic shopping bags. You know, like if you're using...
You can't do that?
No, they don't recycle plastic
shopping
bags.
Wait. What kind of plastic shopping bag?
Like a Target bag?
Like a Target bag.
Like the plastic one?
They don't recycle
those. Well, I use those for cat litter.
Right. So,
trash bags.
Ultimately, like, you want to get back to, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. So if you can't recycle it, then you want to reduce your use. So you would want to take either your own bags to shop with.
Okay.
You take your own bags or reuse them. Reuse them for trash can liners instead of buying new trash can liners.
Ah.
Use them for kitty litter. Use them for lunch bags. Whatever it is, if you have those, don't throw them in the trash. You can also, you can take them back into Target and sometimes, or into stores if they have a recycling program
and they'll reuse them. Yeah.
But they're not actually recycling those bags because they don't actually...
Then why are they even on the earth? Let's talk about that. Why are we still making these?
That's something that I feel like they really... I mean, if
Hello,
you were
Target.
To eliminate, yeah, if you were to eliminate that, that's a convenience item that people have just gotten used to. If you were to eliminate that usage, people would sort it out. They would figure
it out. They haven't been using bags in California for like 25, 30 years.
What happened to like charging for the bags? Wasn't that a thing at
one
point?
Well, so that lasted for like 2 weeks in Dallas. And then I don't know if there was a revolt or what, but apparently Dallas folks couldn't handle it because that
we
was
failed.
I feel like it was last probably beginning of 2018 they did they were going to charge you like 5 cents a
bag
but it lasted like this
well,
long
that's
I mean
people
so
said
short
no.
I love natural grocers because they take the boxes you
yeah.
know
yeah.
That the food comes in or the produce and you reuse them, you take them out and then you break them down. Sometimes I'll reuse them again to store stuff in but you know I'm not going to just call out Target, Walmart, all these retailers, every
that's
single
just
one of
we
them
we love Target
I do love
so
that was
much,
my first
right?
I was
in Target last night Or no, it was the night before. Last night was drinking.
Tequila at the Old Monk.
Okay, so what else are we, what other mistakes are we making?
Things like pizza boxes. So if it's good, you know, I think people think, oh, well, this is paper, this is cardboard, I can recycle this. But if it has any grease or food residue on it, then once it goes into the recycling facility, that grease comes out of that and it can contaminate. And that's kind of the real problem, is that it not only makes that item not recyclable, but it can contaminate the rest of the items that are being recycled. So, and I just think, again, it's back to the consumer who's trying to do a great job, but just really isn't educated enough on what to do.
Well, and a lot of times you'll see this too. I see this at Whole Foods all the time. I'm like, idiot. You know, that's why I want to say to the person that does it, where they put something that's got a bunch of food in it, like gravy or something, in the recycling bin. It's like, what are you thinking, you idiot? Like, what are you thinking? Are you that lazy you can't put it in the right one or make an intelligent decision that this might make the recycling facility dirty to have gravy all over their belts?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, well, we're going to talk more about it. Stephanie Toops, more with her coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. I'm gone. Oh, you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Babiantos. Christina is in the control room and Stephanie Toops is in studio with us. Before we get to the 11 things to stop recycling, the continuation of it, I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and or Spotify. Or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us anywhere in the world. So a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off. And of course, we have EnviroMedica. We were talking about it earlier. The makers of Terra Flora, and what is the name of that product that Dr.
Dannenberg? Organ Complex.
An organ complex. Mm-hmm. I probably won't be taking any of it, but for all you guys that like that sort of thing,
there's a lot of benefits to it.
There is a lot of benefits.
Like, our spot said, people don't like to eat that so much now.
Yeah, you know? Well, you know, and we have so many great companies, Sun Warrior, as I said, Crazy Water, Wellbeing Journal, Paleo Magazine. We have so, so many companies that support One Life Radio. So check them out, support them. Wild Foods is our newest sponsor. And, you know, the thing I love about them is they were founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. I use a lot of their products regularly now, like Cocotropic, because I was trying to get Dr. Dannenberg to talk about, you know, the mushrooms. There's so many benefits to mushrooms. And they have chaga and reishi. Is that how you pronounce it? Reishi. I think that's how you pronounce it. With turmeric and cacao, all in like this one powder that I put in my coffee in the morning. It's only 20 calories in a tablespoon, but you get your turmeric and all these other great ingredients. And I do feel like it has helped me with mood and concentration.
That's awesome.
You know, and so check it out at wildfoods.com, because they, like us, really want to say no to big food, big pharma, bad science, and dangerous health and nutrition dogma. Check them out at wildfoods.co. Okay, Stephanie, 11 things to stop recycling. We left off with the pizza box. So how can you – I recycle half of my pizza box.
Yeah.
The part that gets greasy – you know, I throw that in the trash.
Yep, and you can take the top off and do any part that hasn't been contaminated by food or grease could be recycled. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that these pizza companies, I know Pizza Patron, when I used to own it, we always put a lining underneath it to minimize.
Yeah.
So, and you know, encourage your pizzeria to do that. It's only pennies, and then the cardboard can be recycled.
Yep.
I know it's like kind of seems counterintuitive, like why would you put more paper in there, but I think cardboard is so much more easily recyclable, and it's like a little cheap little liner.
Yep.
So
for sure.
Okay. What else we got on this list?
Receipts. So one of the things we talked about, and this is something that a lot of people just don't know generally, receipts contain BPA, which is a substance which can be carcinogenic, but it makes that paper not recyclable. So I love that you have so many options now to email a receipt or not to take a receipt at all, but generally you don't want to recycle receipts if you have them, and we at my house don't take receipts.
Yeah. And tell us what little Emmy does.
Little Emmy, she just says, we don't take receipts at my house. Just stops totally. Those poor little people right in their tracks.
And they look at her like, what?
Yeah.
She's so cute, too. I can only imagine her saying it.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. So what are some of the other mistakes that we make?
Okay. Oh, this one was really interesting to me. Shredded paper. So if you have a shredder at home, those tiny bits, and this goes back to Avi was asking about like little like plastic rings on the top of a plastic bottle,
yeah,
or even like the tab of a soda, anything uh-huh. that's really small like that. Again, we're talking about machines that are processing this. So
right.
those shredded pieces of paper don't process well within their Ooh. Machines. So if you're shredding paper, you can actually put that in your compost pile, and that's where you would want to use that shredded
cool.
paper.
Cool. Nobody recycles, the shredded paper?
Most general facilities don't. Obviously, there's some exceptions to these. There are going to be some facilities that can handle some of these items, but for the most part
wow.
and generally, these items are discouraged.
Well, you know, the documentary that you invited me to, the premiere of it the other night, they opened the documentary showing footage, a film of a city dump, basically.
Yes, yes.
And it was so awful, you guys. And it was so massive. And then they went on to say, do you remember they said, but that problem, the planet being destroyed by trash, is number one. But number two, right behind it, is the chemicals and the toxicity of all of them being dumped into our waterways
yeah.
through what we put on our body. While we shower, it goes down the drain. It goes into our rivers, our creeks, into our oceans, ultimately. And so it's overwhelming. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
We need to get busy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I feel like that whole personal care industry is sort of the last frontier. I think awareness has been raised in a lot of the spaces that we generally talk about with food and even with like the earth in terms of toxicity, but nobody's really talking about the personal care products. And those, one of the other scenes that they showed was the propellants being used for chemical warfare.
Yes.
And
the same ones we put on our body, guys.
And it's this, those, yeah. they're being put on our bodies. And so I just think that this little chunk has been carved out
yeah.
and the business has protected itself so well. They've really kept,
the lobbyists
tight control
have done a great
yeah,
job.
Of that industry.
Yeah.
And it's, I sort of feel like it really truly is the last frontier in terms of just what's coming out and what is included and what's being processed.
And you think about it, you know, like this morning, you'll die laughing, you guys. So I was putting hairspray on, not hairspray. It was like a thickener. I wanted my hair to be more fluffy because after sleeping on it,
yeah.
it was just kind of flat. So I put this stuff called Thick, I think is the name of it. Anyway, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I ran away from it, like ran to the other side of the bathroom. Like, I don't want to breathe it in. You know, like, why did I do that? I have to stop using it. But you know, we've got to come up with better solutions because, you know, hairspray is probably never going to go away, right?
Right.
So we have to think about people that work in salons or
yes.
nail salons, hair salons.
Yes.
They're breathing
salons.
That stuff. Oh,
yes.
my gosh.
California just passed there was a protective law that they just passed. I want to say like within the last 6 months to protect salon workers because they're exposed to just an incredible amount of chemicals in their everyday
oh,
jobs.
My gosh.
And there's no regulation around the ingredients that they're using.
Well, I bring my own lotion when I go for unless I go to Mini Lux because their lotion
Mini
is
Lux
organic.
Is great. Yep.
They are, and they have organic nail polishes. That's mm-hmm. a great shout out for them. But that's where I go because I don't want all those toxic things in my body. But when I do go to like a regular nail salon on occasion, I'll bring my own lotion
yep.
to massage my feet because
yep.
that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
And they look at me really weird, like, why does she bring her own lotion?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we do need to be more aware. So the 11 things to stop recycling diapers are on this. Who would put a dirty diaper?
Well, it goes back to just people not really thinking, you know, and not understanding the process and thinking, oh, somehow they're going to clean this or somehow they're going, somehow there's going to be some sort of, you know, I don't know, sanitation process or whatever it is. But ultimately, when you're thinking about recycling, what you're wanting to provide the facility is a clean product that they can take and turn into something
right.
else. And if they don't really have, there's not really a cleaning process
wow.
that can take place. And again, you can contaminate huge amounts of products that could be recycled
oh, yeah, yeah.
if you put something in there that you shouldn't.
Well, yeah. And the last one on this list, and I do this. Well, I used to. Now I do it differently.
Yes.
Coffee cups.
Yes.
Coffee cups,
yes.
unless they're perfectly clean and they've had water in them, that's a no-no, right?
Well, and actually they have like a plastic coating. They're like the receipts. Most coffee cups have a plastic coating in them so that
oh.
they don't, like the paper won't break.
Right.
And so coffee cups or
you can always
like
do the top.
Cream.
You can recycle
you can
the top.
The top, but like ice cream containers too are coated with a polymer. So anything that's not strictly paper where you can feel any kind of coating on it would be a no-no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, always great to have Stephanie Toops in studio. On Instagram, you can follow her at Toopsy Turvy. And I always love having her in studio. She makes me laugh. All right, everyone. You know what? Yeah, get out there and have a great weekend. TGIF, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.
KFXR Dallas-Fort Worth. Talk radio.